The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, it's Wednesday. Welcome back, everybody. I hope things are tolerable out there for you. We had an interesting little U.S. Senate primary race outcome yesterday. Former NBA player Royce White won the Republican U.S. Senate primary race in Minnesota. Interesting. Now, we've mentioned him before, I believe, on the program here. William, are you there? And
yes.
Tell us about you. I think you were backing. Wasn't Ali Pack backing Royce White? Am I wrong?
I don't think so.
Okay. Have you checked into this guy?
No. Nope. We haven't.
Somebody said that
really...
He's one of us. He's mentioned he's part of the Rents family of general geopolitical viewpoints. Here, let me read this. See if we can pick anything up real quick. Royce White. When longtime Donald Trump ally Steve Bannon surrendered at a federal prison in Connecticut, he asked an unconventional U.S. Senate candidate from Minnesota to stand at his side. Well, I'm not a big Bannon fan. Royce White, who on Tuesday won the Republican primary in Minnesota to challenge Democrat incumbent U.S. Senator Amy
Klobuchar,
Put his arm around Bannon last month and praised him as an American hero. White also counts among his friends conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, and his past social media comments have been denounced as misogynistic,
and
homophobic.
Of course, let's go ahead, and racist and xenophobic.
Well, I'm getting there. Yes, misogynistic, homophobic, anti-Semitic, and profane. So those are all pluses. I don't know much about him.
I like this guy. Sounds like I would have probably voted for him.
Well, you're not going to vote for Klobuchar.
Oh, my gosh, she's one of the worst, isn't she?
Awful. And she's kind of below the radar a lot now. So I didn't hear her name much anymore. She's doing dirt in secret.
Well, I think one of the important things that I want to discuss with you tonight, Jeff, is that I think that we need to all... And by all of us, I mean everybody listening to this show and the podcast, and I'm going to reflect this in some of the alerts from Alipag. We really need to manage people's expectation and understanding about where things are at right now. It may be, I will admit that there's a possibility that it's too far gone. The United States is a cancer patient. They cannot be saved. The elections are too rigged. Too many illegals are going to vote. And that resistance has, you never watched Star Trek, but resistance is futile, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But whether that's the case or not, I don't know that for sure. You don't know that for sure. And we can't fight like that. okay, what we have to do is we have to fight with everything we've got. And I mean
it. Right.
We have to fight like we're going to lose the whole country by 5 votes at any given time. We have
truth?
To fight because, right, I mean, look at what just happened. I hope everybody out there listening knows what just happened with the Elon Musk, Donald Trump Twitter interview.
We'll go ahead and wrap it, do a wrap on it real quick. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's something that's never been done on this scale before. People have been interviewed on social media sites right. before, but never the world's richest man and owner of Twitter and Tesla and SpaceX interviewing the Republican nominee and prior president Donald Trump after an assassination on an uncensored platform. And Musk, you know, made it clear that he wanted to be very conversational, and it was. It was about a 2.5-hour conversation. Trump sounded a little bit like he had a bit of a cold, but it was the big problem with it was, well, before we got to the launch of the interview or the discussion, the European Union threatened Musk and Twitter, sent him a written letter saying, you know, we got laws in this country about what people could say about hate speech and stuff like that, and if your interview violates it anyway, you're in trouble. Ooh, they tried to pre-censor. They tried to pre-censor it. So Musk expecting the worst, because Musk has been through the ringer. They've thrown everything in the kitchen sink at Elon Musk, and they've called him every ist, racist, homophobic.
That's right.
They've called him a far right. He's a moderate prior Democrat that voted for Obama, who now supports Trump, and believes that the fate of the country depends on Trump being elected over because Kamala and the socialists and the communists are so the woke mind virus, which he also blames for taking his, I think, son away from him or daughter. I'm not sure how that worked out. But the first thing that happened was at 8 o'clock when the conversation was supposed to begin, and a lot of people made time to hear this because this was a little bit of a Sputnik moment. This was like, the U.S. put up something out of Sputnik, and everybody could hear old Dwight Eisenhower's voice coming in from the heavens for the first time. It was a new thing.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, listen, I mean, all of us listening today, we've heard what Donald Trump and Elon Musk and all of them have had to say, but there's still a lot of people out there in a very big country of all different walks of life, races, and ages that haven't heard unfiltered, what's going on from some of these candidates.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point, and it's true.
Yeah. So at 8 o'clock, though, nobody could log on, and it wasn't just the individual users like me. It was Benny Tom's Johnson and a lot of the podcasters that we recommended on the last show. They were tuned in to do their reaction videos and to carry the signal. There were other Twitter users, and everybody's, you know, either can't get in at all or are getting some hold music. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, Musk comes on and he tells people two things. He says, one, I scaled this up to 8 million people the other day to make sure this would work. And two,
8 million.
Yeah, okay. 8 million. And two, he said, the reason that this isn't working is that we're under some type of DDoS attack or denial of service attack on the chat itself. And that's a hacking type thing. That's a sophisticated hacking thing. And in my opinion, if that's what was stopping this broadcast from taking place, it was probably state-level actor. It was state. Right. It was enterprise class.
Yeah, they're messing things up. In fact, before our program here tonight, somebody from a European origination location was trying to continually auto-dial on a special line to tie up our equipment at the network studios. So I couldn't call in. So anyway, we outsmarted them. But there are attacks happening all the time. It is common, and I think Musk is correct. Sure.
Well, the conversation took 45 minutes before it started, and different people tuned in at different times. I think at any given moment, the highest it reached was 1.3 million people listening to it, at one time. But, you know, a lot of people listened in, went away, came back. A lot of people listened in to it. Like, I listened to it through the X platform, and then when I was closer to bedtime, I put it on YouTube. And so there were several different ways for everybody to listen to it. Within the first 24 hours of it going, Elon Musk says that he thinks somewhere close to a billion interactions. Not necessarily a billion people, but somewhere near a billion interactions A lot of people heard it, and if they didn't hear it, they heard what happened immediately after it. All of a sudden, up comes the missiles and the flak from all the legacy media outfits, all across the board, the yeah. major media outlets, all open fire with the same criticisms at the same time, like a wall of... So they tried to shoot it down before it went up, and then when it went up, they went after it immediately. Okay, so... Yeah. Here's what I want people to start thinking about, though, okay? Because we talk about problems on this show, but we're not talking about problems that are insurmountable. We're not talking about things in a way that should discourage anybody from voting, contributing, volunteering, and taking some type of action over the next 80 days. Because if anything we say discourages you to that point, okay, then we're feeding into the enemy's hands. That's what the enemy wants right now. They want all of you to lay down, quit, and die. That's what they want, and that's what their game is about. Right now the game is... Kamala is up by 5 points suddenly,
please.
Out of the blue, miraculously. No one could have seen it coming. The woman that nobody voted for, the woman that nobody wanted, the woman that had polling numbers way down here has suddenly taken the lead. Yeah. She pulled up next to and went right back Trump in about 10 to 12 days. Can you believe it? We got the A-plus poll. We got the headlines over here on Drudge. Oh, my God. Now Trump's in danger of losing in Florida.
Especially in light of 2020, when we all went to bed, or many of us did. Trump was well out in front, okay, and they took it, turned it around, and we woke up to an obvious, outrageous attack on the Constitution and our political process. It was
horrible.
Well,
and in the case that nobody remembers, 2016, okay, in 2016, 2 weeks before the election even hit, we were told Hillary Clinton was up by 9. We were told that Hillary Clinton...
Polls don't pay attention to polls. That's the short of it, okay?
Well,
just don't.
Look, I think Kamala's getting a bunch of people to turn out one way or another, Beck Steeler Bar to her events. Okay?
Yeah, a lot of her events are... William, a lot of her events, I believe, are AI audiences to a significant degree. I think it's just digital fakery. She's not pulling that kind of people.
They're going to get people to turn out because they can pay people, and even if they don't pay them...
Well, the Las Vegas... okay, hold on. You're right. The Las Vegas event she had a week ago, I guess, it was half full. And most of the audience, or much of the audience, according to observers there, looked like they had been picked up on street corners and given $100 and then bussed over there. That's what it looked like.
Well, the truth is, and we know it from coming through the pandemic and a lot of other experiences, that there are a huge number of narrative followers in this country, and the narrative right now is for them to show up and get excited about Kamala and donate, okay? And that's what they're
especially
doing, and that's what they're
going to
do. There's tens and tens of millions of them.
They got a lot of money.
There's 60, 70, 80 million of these people that are the narrative believers. Now, does that mean that Kamala is in the lead? No. Does that mean that Kamala is going to win? No. None of that means those things, okay? And they're trying to create the narrative.
They do what they want. That's how I look at it.
Well, I think we got to do what we're going to do, which
we
is
do.
Point out to people that you can't believe that narrative. Donald Trump better not believe that narrative. Anybody on his campaign better not believe that narrative. Anybody doing anything better not believe that Kamala Harris is suddenly miraculously in the lead and is going to win no matter what. Resistance is futile, okay? Because we need people contributing, donating, voting, attending events, getting on shows like this, getting on social media, getting on Twitter, posting on forums, sharing information, calling people in power to say, get these
non-citizens off
as
committed
the voters' pile.
And activated. We have to be viewed as a factor, a big factor.
I believe this program, Rents.com, Alipac.us, and the Alipac organization, I think that the combination and the power comes from the people out there listening. I think that together we completely have the ability to be a player. I mean, a significant national
I think we are. I think
pressure.
You are especially. I agree. There are a lot of people listening. These are very smart people out there.
Well, we got to have our heads in the right place.
Yeah, I know.
We can't. You and I need to try not to discourage people too much. We don't need to blackpill anybody, okay?
Well, how many points up is she allegedly? ahead of Trump.
Oh, the judge is claiming some poll I've never heard of before.
The judge is a communist, storefront now.
But yes, it's not just Drudge. They're layering it, you know, and Kamala still won't interview with the media because that could wreck the image of they're trying to create.
We need to get Willie Brown on this program, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, she's on the cover of Time magazine, and they didn't even use her real picture. They used a graphic enhanced digital picture. And then I guess they wrote some stuff about her inside, but it did involve that her speaking to them because she wouldn't even speak. She's on the cover of Time magazine and wouldn't even speak to Time magazine about them putting her on the cover. But look at that. Time magazine puts a flourishing photo of her on less than 80 days before Election Day. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
And the only thing that we've got that's a major hitter that they just are flipping out about right now is Twitter. Twitter is reaching places. And Twitter's doing things right now. This has never happened before. In 2020, Twitter wasn't free or wasn't operating. Well, Twitter was not operating like it is now under Elon Musk in 2020, nor was it operating like it is now in 2016. The fact that Donald Trump was smart enough to come back on, he has returned to Twitter, and he's returned with panache. I think that's the right word.
Good enough.
I better check those before I throw it out. I could just say something.
Panache is a good word. That's an attitude. Yeah. He's got style. Yeah. He's swashbuckling. Okay.
Yeah, and I think that that he's humanized. One of the things the conversation with him, he joked around. And, of course, any time the man makes a joke about anything, they run ahead and take it out of context. You know, and the same people,
These are givens now. We expect that. Yes, and it's good to point them out. Anything he says will be attacked. These are full-time professionals. Anything. They'll turn anything around on anybody.
Same voices that are jumping on him for that tell us that the audio and video clip of Kamala Harris, I think in August or July of 2023 at a climate conference, when she said, hold on, I'm going to make sure I read this.
She said so many things they're digging up now.
This is a real good one. This is one we ought to hang on to. She said... Oh, yeah, here we go. July 2023, quote, when we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles to reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water. Let me repeat that. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water. Now, the White House said that it was a gaffe. She was supposed to say pollution, but she said reduce population. What do you think would happen, Jeff, if Donald Trump had a little gaffe and mentioned that, well, we're trying to clean up the planet, you know, we're going to reduce population? Oops. Oopsie.
Oh, it roasts him for the next 82 days, whatever. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% correct in everything you said. The nice thing about EVs, electric vehicles, is that the people are turning their backs on them. They don't like them at all. There's no resale value. It's a waste of money, a waste of time. How much did the Biden administration regime get to put in charging stations? And they never put in any. So I think there was one, maybe. There was supposed to be a whole network. These cars are junk. If you want to make money out there, somebody... convert EVs into gasoline-powered engines. You'll have a lot of customers. If you can do it economically, somebody could drive their EV in there and have it made into a dependable gasoline-powered engine. Here, the Camel, her competency makeover. Is it magic or media manipulation? It's a pretty good story. It's from American Greatness. Vice President... She said it, I heard it. Kamala. That's how she pronounced her own name. Kamala. At any rate, Kamala Harris' recent transformation from second fiddle to President Biden into a competent, joyful warrior for the Democrat Party is a classic example of big media and big tech creating reality. How many times have I said reality comes out of the screen for most people, whether they realize it or not? But how much of the glowing headlines, inclusive puff pieces, and fawning coverage is noted and rooted in reality? and how much of it is simply talking points downloaded from the Democratic National Committee. While it's no secret that mainstream media have been openly aligned against Donald Trump since before he was elected president in 2016, the pro-Harris narrative building every day is becoming too obvious to ignore. So they're spending all kinds of time trying to reinvent this dead husk of a person into something alive and vibrant and politically worthy.
And if I may say, and what they're doing with the petite female character in this pageantry is the same thing they do in so many movies that make them stink today. Okay, there's no character arc in the movies. A petite female comes out, and she's suddenly the best, this lightsaber, space pilot, hand-to-hand combat person you could ever want. There's no character arcs, there's no setbacks, there's no overcoming challenges. She's just, as my friend, my podcaster I enjoyed named Doomcock says, the bestest ever, okay? You got to say, bestest ever. She's the bestest ever. She's a girl character, and she's just the bestest ever. And Kamala Harris is the bestest ever.
But this is 100% fiction, and all of you know that. It's just
fraud. Because she has just swept right into the lead, better than anybody else, real, because that's the same story they've been telling in all these movies that stink. It's the reason Disney's falling apart, okay? And it's the same thing they're doing with Snow Brown, the recreation of Snow White. It's the same thing, except it's and that's why she can't go out and talk without a very controlled teleprompter. And because she has to let the machine that is responsible for all this horrible stuff, that she has to let the machine do the work for her, because she can't on her own, and she can't run the country on her own. And I'll tell you this, Jeff, let me tell you something. Let's say right now, hypothetically, let's say we were about to head into a fair and balanced election with very little election outcome changing skullduggery, which I don't think is the case, but let's just say hypothetically we were. If this country is dumb enough, insane enough, whatever adjective you'd like to apply enough, to reelect the Biden-Harris administration after 10 million illegals imported, unprecedented inflation, violent crime all over the place, just weaponizing everything. If the country is crazy or dumb or insane enough to actually elect the Democrats on November 5, God
help us
all.
I guess they deserve what they get. That's the end of America.
We're all going to get.
Oh. But no, that's the Zionist communist death knell right there. The last time the camel was on the cover of Time was in, let me see this here, 2019. And it was a reasonable cover. Now this thing, I don't know what the hell they've got here. She looks like an Indian from the plains in the 1800s. She's actually an Indian by blood from India. Whatever. All right, I'm looking at the cover. We'll be right back with William. Hold on as the Great Freak Show continues. Okay, welcome back. Talking with William Dean, AllyPack.us. William is on each Wednesday as we roll now. 82 days remaining until the selection. We'll see what they have selected. It's hard to read this, and I'm not a particularly brilliant geopolitical analyst, but I can say that it does seem to me that there are factions at not the top level of globalist elite control, but at this level. And you were watching it play out in the so-called election. Now, one of the factions would be communist, Zionist, communist, Bolshevik, pretty much. That would be their nameplate. The other one would be kind of a marriage of government and big corporate money. That they call fascism, if you want to play the label game. But those two seem to be the two prominent combatants in this race. And their figureheads, their puppets, are the camel, Waltz, who is clearly despicable. Both the camel and Waltz want to normalize pedophilia. What more do you need to know? We can start and stop right there. On the other side, you've got J.D. and DJT. I don't know. Trump, he's fit. I don't think he's a health issue at all. But where do we go with this? When Trump dodged a bullet by that close a margin, and I think that's what happened. I know some people think it was all staged, and I get the argument, but I don't. There are dead people there and wounded people, and a lot of shots were fired. So Trump dodges a bullet. That's fate. Is it fate? I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. In my guess about Trump, he will do absolutely everything he is told to do if they install him in the White House. I think that that Pennsylvania shooting, they win either way. That's how they play the game. They win if he's dead. They win if he survives. And they got J.D. Vance right behind him now. And you know more about J.D. than a lot of people, William. So what do we have here?
Well,
we have bread and circuses is what we have. And let me say one other thing. Hold on. I want to back you up. I think people need to stay active. If you feel like voting, vote. They want to see votes from our side to judge what they have to do to try to fight it. And the more noise we make, even if the votes are essentially irrelevant, we need to make that noise. So make that noise and let them know there are a hell of a lot of Americans out here who are not being fooled.
Well, and I think that's what it's going to come down to, the actual motivation, enthusiasm. Here's how I call this fight, okay? They're going to play it up with the rallies and the people that buy the narrative and come out and
it's
do showy things.
For, come out.
Yes, they're going to do all that.
Yeah.
But, and they're going to run the fake polls. But when it comes down to it, the people who oppose Biden Harris, who oppose socialism in this country, oppose the illegal innovation, oppose all this stuff, are more motivated to show up than people are to show up for more of that, okay? People are going to show up for abortion and more invasion and more inflation from Biden-Harris. Woo-hoo. So that leaves what they relied on before, the machine politics, the early voting, the mail-in ballots, that kind of stuff. The Democrats have to go balls to the wall on all the handling of the voters that is going to be necessary, because if they didn't do that and you just left it alone, if you left the Republicans and Democrats alone, Democrats get slaughtered, because Democrats are always softer voters. They show up more in presidential election years than non-presidential election years, but they're less likely voters overall than conservative or Republican voters. And so that's where the skullduggery and the crazy crap's going to go on. And I think that one of the big power things here that they should have thought about before they let somebody almost kill him, every time Trump gets abused, every time they try to silence him, he gets stronger, he does better. And they're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep making that mistake. Who knows? If
I don't
Trump
think it's over yet,
to the election day.
William, I don't want to say this, but I will say it because I've said it before. I don't think he's out of the woods at all. I think
the
best thing he's
got
going for him is that they would want him in there so they'll have Vance for the next 8 years minimum, and maybe 2 or 3 years of Trump's second term if he were to have a heart attack or whatever. This Vance is a player in their view. They've got him. Peter Thiel owns him. We know that. We know he was created, just another created face. If you look at the videos 5, 6 years ago, what he said about Trump, it's almost preposterous to think that he could actually, on his own volition, turn himself 180 degrees from those earlier statements.
But you never know, though, Jeff, because, I mean, one of the things that happens is, like with Elon Musk, okay, Elon Musk used to be an Obama voter, centrist Democrat, and now, after seeing what they were doing and then buying Twitter and all he's been hit with, he's showing symptoms of being red-pilled. He's changed. These things change you. Being shot in the head by an assassin's bullet, these things have the power to change and transform you. Trump is saying that you know, everybody should go and listen to the interview themselves, because you actually learn a lot more about both Trump and Elon Musk. And one of the things that Musk said, as you were talking about the electric vehicles, and you know, Trump has been very unfavorable towards electric vehicles in his stumps and speeches and stuff. But if you listen to what Elon Musk says, because he makes electric vehicles, okay, Musk says that on climate change, he believes it's a real thing, but it's moving, it's super, much lower rates than any of the alarmists would claim, and that while we fluctuate down in the 400s level of carbon dioxide on the planet, it's only going up 1 to 2 parts per million per year. But if it continues on that trajectory and it does start to get worse, or it accelerates and it gets close to 1,000 particles per parts per million or whatever, we're in trouble, because our current bodies would have trouble breathing and being comfortable. Now, we may adapt, we may change, we may mutate.
Maybe we'll stop cutting down the forest, which takes
plants
CO2
may take
and turn
over.
It into oxygen.
You know, well, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of unknowns. So Musk believes that climate change is a concern, is an issue, but he doesn't believe that we have to solve it all in 5 or 10 years, like you hear from these radicals.
He's
on the
right.
Left.
Ice core samples prove he's right. I've gone through this before on the program. Ice core samples, going back a million years, show climate variations going up and down on the graph, up and down. We're at a very low level now, one of the lowest levels in a long time, talking about millennia. And so every little increment upward can be called global warming. But it's not. It's just the stability factor of climate on this planet, how it changes over the millennia.
Well, and one of the common things that happen with the different power groups and biased media and stuff is that they take something and they run out ahead of it and they overdo it. For instance, Musk said several times that he wants people to, he believes that people should be able to drive gas-powered vehicles. He believes that people should be able to eat steak. He doesn't believe you should do without gas. You know, but there are people on the, because he's against the wokeness, he's against the radical leftists, he's against the people that want to take away cars, and he builds electrical vehicles. So yeah. When you listen to him speak about his actual positions, and another thing about Musk too is, he's not the most, him and Trump both, they fumble around a bit. And when Trump speaks, when he's thinking and stuff, he stammers. We all do it a little bit. You and I, we do it, you know. But when you get on the radio and you're trying to present something, you try to mellow it out. And you can tell that his wheels are sort of turning as he speaks. And you sort of have to hang in there with him a little bit. But, you know, the good thing about it is that while that's a little more tedious or difficult to listen to someone over a period of time, of course, at least it's coming from the heart, you know. So you could tell when a person speaks that way that they're telling you what they really think. They're trying to measure what they say to some degree, but they're telling you, they're letting you know what they really think, and it's not a radical position.
It sounds like what you're saying is it had the ring of truth and honesty.
Right, and Trump could afford to be a little less hostile to the electrical vehicle thing, because it's not going to hurt anybody for electrical vehicles to be in the market. If Elon Musk wants to make electrical vehicles, then let him do it. And if people want to buy those said electrical vehicles and they think they're good value, then let them do it, because that's what we do here in the United States.
I think competition is, of course, the life's blood of our way of life, so for sure.
Yeah, and it makes sense that, you know, and
but just don't force anybody,
approved.
Huh?
Well, that's
a volunteer
thing, yes.
Market.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they want to, the powers are behind the scenes, the Chinese and stuff, want to reduce our access to energy. And they want that energy for themselves. They want the United States weaker, and they want them stronger. So, you know, that's what's going on in the extremists. And I think that underneath it, I think that people do change. The only thing that I'm aware of that allows them to take full and permanent control of somebody is if they get a video of them having sex with a child or anybody under the age of
18. Which can be done AI now, and good luck proving it.
Well, I mean, I think that the people that we're dealing with, just from everything I've seen, I think that that's their modus operandi. I think they know that. Okay, I mean, because if you blackmail somebody over...
The weird part about what you just said, hold on, is that the Camel and Waltz both are pushing for the normalization of pedophilia.
Well, and I'm just saying that from the power groups and the shadowy forces, that the extra constitutional powers that we seem to be fighting against here that have disrupted our republic, who have taken the republic away from the people of the United States, that their modus operandi seems to be that type of control lever. Because, I mean, think about it. The other type of secrets people have, as far as like an adulterous relationship, well, you know what? That might cost you your marriage. But it's not going to cost you. It doesn't mean it's going to cost you your business. It doesn't mean that it's going to make people not elect you. Okay, and right. you have a right. hidden drug
now,
or alcohol problem.
People are more tolerant to that than ever now.
Right. Yeah. You might have a drug or alcohol problem. That doesn't mean that's going to cost you your business or your political free, you know. The only thing that they can take any member of the Senate, the Supreme Court, the presidency, the cabinet, somebody working at a remote military base in Alaska, anybody mm-hmm. that they can take from wherever they're at and pretty much have them beaten and raped to death on the floor of a prison yeah. is the videotape with an underage partner. And so, and then that's what clearly was happening with Jeffrey Epstein. And apparently that's not the only honeypot in operation. I mean, and it goes Operation, what is it called? Operation Midnight Climax. Going back to MK Ultra stuff, you know, mm-hmm. when the feds were researching psychoactive drugs like LSD and other agents for interrogation and mind control and mm-hmm. observation and stuff. At one point, they set up shop in a brothel with one-way mirrors and fed drugs to, you know, Johns in there with prostitutes and you know, who those people were and what was going on. You know, it was all videotaped somewhere, just like the videotapes. You know, right now, whoever... we don't know how many people or who the people on film with underage boys and girls were filmed on Epstein Island or by Jeffrey Epstein before getting to the island. We don't know where those tapes are.
He's just one operation like that. They believe me, they have many, many.
Yeah, yeah. But whoever's got those tapes controls those people. Whoever.
I would say that, RFK is on the list twice. He's appeared twice in Epstein's documents. So what does that tell us? I don't know.
Well,
all I know is that people are more tolerant now. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it suggests, but it does not mean they have them on film with an underage boy or girl.
Doesn't mean it, no. No.
And that can happen anywhere. That can happen in D.C. You bet they got something set up in D.C. You know, the people who I think are under that type of control, I think that Lindsey Graham's under that type of control.
Oh, that guy is such a degenerate.
There's several of them that just like, you know, you can just sort of see it how
honestly, when you look at the simple fact that AIPAC has a, what do they call it? Kind of a babysitter. For every Democrat and most every Republican in the House to make sure they vote pro-Israel on any bill, everyone in Congress except for Massey said, he said, I think I'm the only one who doesn't have one.
Well,
my shoulder.
If you're a lobby or power group and you've got hidden safe somewhere with a underage sex tape of a politician, lobbying them for whatever you want should be pretty easy. They probably agree. They probably agree to whatever you want really fast.
You got it.
Hey, yeah. Look, so-and-so dropped by again today. What's he want? Okay, you got it.
I would say that whether it's porn, whether it's pedophilia, or video recordings of illicit activities, or financial issues, I would say that at least 60-70% of the Congress is compromised to some degree. They're all dirty.
Yep,
they all have problems.
Most of those crimes, though, will get you put in a minimum security prison with ping pong and decent food. Those will not get you beaten and raped to death on a prison floor. Okay, if you go into a prison and you're going in under the charge of pedophilia and messing with kids, they're going to torture you before they kill you, and you're going to get raped, and you're going to be, you know, die the worst imaginable, drawn out way possible.
Look what the Jews are doing in their prisons to Palestinian men, and some of the Jewish soldiers in there are women who are engaged in these behaviors of sticking foreign objects in places where they shouldn't get stuck.
Did. Do you remember the pictures out of the black sites out of Iraq?
Go back to World War II. Go back to the ancient Roman wars.
It's an old school trick, but I'm just saying that's what we're up against, and the fact that we don't get to know who those people are.
I think the majority are compromised. I'm with you 100% on that. How much of a majority? I think it might be higher than you'd think.
Well, you can tell who the best decision is by who they react against. And it is clear that all of the social media except for Twitter, all of the legacy media except for maybe Fox, all don't want Donald Trump, and they don't want Republicans to do much. And then and the other thing is,
are they going to do it again? Like, that's the big question, I guess. Are they going to do it again?
Well, the last thing that they don't want to see a Republican president that they don't feel like they can control all that well, you know. And if they had any sex tapes with underage people of Donald Trump, it would have been released by now. I mean, the Steele dossier and the stuff that they manufactured. That, yeah. You know, if they had that, if that existed anywhere on the planet, they would have had it already.
82 days.
Well, and the thing is, it did exist for Hunter Biden, and when it comes rolling out in the laptop. They threw up the screens and changed the outcome of the 2020 elections, but that story alone was enough to sink Biden's presidential campaign. And they had the power to stop it all. Just, nope, denied. Right. FBI got the laptop.
Well,
nobody's
going to
write about it.
There are factions at this level, and I think one of them is communism, Zionism, and the other is probably what you would call fascism, big business, big government. They're going at it. It looks like it anyway. But boy, if they duplicate what they did in 2020, that was the most outrageous election theft I can even imagine. But if they put
we're done.
You're right.
We're in Star Trek land. We're in new political territory.
No one's
ever been in before.
Nope.
But I saw something on a little statement on Twitter, a little meme, and I love it when somebody actually puts together a small, concise statement that I agree with that really conveys a lot of meaning.
What'd you say?
And I'm gonna try to make this one a William Gein's talking point. This is something that I hope you're gonna hear me say a lot.
Right.
They don't hate racism; they hate white people.
Oh, there you go.
The people who are doing a lot of this stuff,
they're
anti-racist, they decry racism. They clearly do not hate racism because they practice it themselves.
Sure, you bet.
In 2021, the top 100 companies in this country, 94% of the people they hired were not white. They only hired in a population of almost... 94% were non-white for the top 100 Apple and the biggest companies.
For sure.
Yes. Yes. And so they don't oppose racism like they say they do. They don't hate racism. They practice racism. They hate whites. And it is, they don't hate racism. They hate whites. And if you think about that, if you agree with that, or you know what, even if you don't agree with that, go and apply that to the next biased article you read. Or the next story you see evolve, and say, could this be explained by them hating white people? Well, that certainly would explain a lot of it, and it's absolutely true. A lot of these people, they hate whites, and that's their real thing, but they come out saying, oh, I hate racism, but no, they practice racism because they hate white people, and I'm just going to stick to it because I think it's concise, it works, you can put it in small little graphics and share it far and wide, and that's what I plan to do.
Good. Good.
No,
a powerful meme message is worth its weight. It's great. Those are powerful notes. Just a little statement. That's all you need. Like
well,
that.
You know, I've said on your show several times, I love my honkies. I love all them honkies out there. I love you.
Don't forget the rednecks either. All right.
Yeah,
same
you
thing.
Find yourself, people talking bad about you, trying to beat up on you, saying awful things about you, well... That's all right, because I love honkies. Honkies are good people.
Well, they may be the last line of defense in this country. We'll see.
Well, they're the people that the adversaries know that they need to take out to take this country down, or
take
it over, or take it down. And, that's what they're doing. And what happens if they keep hiring just people of color instead of white people year after year after year? What happens to us? What happened? Where
right.
do we go?
Well, the birth rate now is at an all-time low in the U.S. We're talking about white babies. Let's be honest about it. That's what they're counting, the birth rate. None of the invaders coming across the border are being given the bioweapon death shot. The death vax is not being given to them. They're expected to survive us. Get it? And they're sitting back now watching this incredible tsunami of people who have been vax injured get worse and worse. And it's sad to say, but that's the truth. America's birth rates are at all-time historic lows, and deaths are surging. That's the war that won't be talked about.
90% of America's population growth over the last blah, blah, blah has been Hispanic.
And there are now
more illegals entering the country.
What is that whore in the poll? She's up by how many points over allegedly?
Five, according to the Drudge.
Oh,
she's up by
please.
Five.
Come on.
Believe it. Believe it, people.
Yeah. Let's get Willie Brown out here on the program. I'd love to have him on. He wrote a book including much of the vile side of that wretch and what she did to claw her way to the, oh, excuse me, sleep her way to the top, so to speak. And now here she is. Oh, and a reverse speech with David Oates last night. If you missed it, you might want to go listen. It's in his columnist section on the left-hand side. Terrific hour. Lots of reversals on the camel and on walls. Oh, dirty, dirty, dirty stuff. Liars. She's apparently giving almost the same speech at every stump stop and sounds the same. She's trying to sound really happy in it. It's the same voice inflections. It's the same cadence. She's just a one-dimensional piece of toilet paper, that woman. All right. Great job, William. 82 days. Let's see what the hell happens, huh? We're watching.
Hey, watch The Terminator before next Wednesday.
I will try. Thank you.
Get that first movie. Right. See you there.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. William Gein. We can't roll over and let them see no activity. We have to raise hell and send your vote in or whatever the hell you have to do to get it registered. It'll make it harder for them if they're going to try and pull another one. I still cannot believe that they're actually trying to maintain this lie. It's not a lie, it's insanity, that Biden got more votes than any other presidential candidate in history, 81.7 million. Ah, beyond science fiction. Be right back with Hour 2.